There are times when, as a preacher, I want to thunder like a storm. There are times that I want to tiptoe like a fawn. There are times when I want to talk or chat like a conversation. There are times when I want to sit down as a father would with his son and wheel him and lash him because of the need of chastening. There are times when I want to, as a father would with his son, tell him what a good boy he is and how much he loves him. There are times, like this morning, when I want to talk as a father would talk to his son when he's saying, "Son, now listen to your dad for a few minutes. I want to tell you something you need to know. Please do not require me this morning to hold your attention by humor. Please do not make it necessary for me to hold your attention by dynamics. Allow me to hold your attention because I love you and want to chat with you and tell you about someone in the Bible who found out something that we ought to know." If ever a man was the object of the world's pampering, it was Solomon. Circumstances exhausted themselves on him. Wealth had no luxury that she withheld from King Solomon. Royalty had no power that was not his. Gold had no glitter. Thrones had no dominion. Pleasure had no laughter that she withheld from Solomon. Flowers had no aroma or sweetness. Songs had no melodies that they withheld from Solomon. Beauty had no loveliness. Waters had no sparkle. Flocks had no plumage. Light had no radiance. Truth had no knowledge. And fame had no acclaim that was held from King Solomon. He had it all. You just decide what you wish you had. And he had it. You just decide the next thing you want to acquire. And he acquired it. You just list the things that you think would make you happy. And he had them. The world placed its loveliest flowers in his garland. The world cheered him with its sweetest music. It pressed the richest wine to his lips. Mirth gave him its gladdest laughter and clothed him with its rarest purple. From his royal stables came neighing over 12,000 horses. Listen to this. Chewing their bits over troughs made with gold. His horses ate from golden troughs. His fiery chargers were harnessed to 1,400 chariots. That's likened to a person owning 1,400 Cadillacs, as it were. Well, I do my billfold, yes. Put it in the wrong pocket. Good night. I felt in my pocket, my billfold was gone. And sitting close to Brother Colston bothers me a great deal. But I think, it is strange how I often preach in my hand in my pocket. And I didn't know what was missing, but I knew something was missing. Because my hand didn't feel right down there in my pocket. Feels great now. Holding on to that money. I may have put the billfold in the wrong pocket, but when I sing, I don't forget my words. And I know the difference between morning and night. And between Pepto-Bismol and the other stuff. His coffers cradled every jewel that man could find. He had at his command, get this, over $680 million in gold. And over $1 billion in silver.
He wrote 1,005 Psalms. He wrote 3,000 Proverbs. He covered his horses with blankets of Tyrian purple. He knew the flattery of foreign diplomats. His robes were encrusted with jewels. He knew well the flattery of royalty. For 35 years, he sat on the highest throne known to the world. His axemen hewed for him the best from every forest. His archers led him to every rare wing. His merchants traded in every bazaar. And his fishermen led him to the best of every stream. You say, how happy he must have been. Think of it. So wealthy. Not only did he eat from china of pure gold and drank from crystal or glasses of pure silver, but his horses ate from troughs of gold. How happy he must have been to have all that he had. And yet, the truth is, if anybody is happy, you say, it must be he. No, quite the opposite. He ends his life saying, everything's vanity. He ends his life saying, nothing underneath the sun, and that's a long ways. He said, nothing beneath the sun is permanent. And he said, nothing beneath the sun brings happiness. He said, I've had it all. He said, not a woman that I wanted I couldn't secure except one little gal in Song of Solomon. Not one single thing did my eyes ever see that I wanted, that I withheld from myself. Not one chariot did I ever covet, but what I satisfied that covetousness. Not one garment did I ever wish were on my back, but what I did not get for my back. Not one silver coin nor gold brick did I ever see that I wanted, that I withheld from myself. Not one piece of furniture I ever wanted to grace my house. Not one house ever wanted to house my family. Not one diamond I ever wanted to grace my finger. Not one single thing I ever saw did I withhold from myself. And yet the truth is, this was a miserable man.
Why? Because something had been taken out. And he tried, spent his life trying to fit into that place. Like the prince of Cinderella, who spent his life trying to find the one young lady who could wear the slipper. Solomon had something missing in his life. That something is missing in the life of every natural man in this world. Every person born of woman is born with something missing. And that something is eternity. I'm not talking about just never dying. I'm talking about things that never die. When Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, and the first time you chose to sin, something is missing in our lives, and that something that's missing is eternity. Things that never die. Things that never end. Things that last forever. I don't care how old you are this morning. You may be 16. You may be 26. You may be 62. But you never will. I don't care who you are. Teenager in high school. Young person in college. Young businessman working your way up the ladder. You never will fill that void in your life
was left void because eternity was taken out. You never will fill eternity's void with temporal answers. Never will. Solomon said, God has set eternity in his heart. Solomon said, I took fame and tried to fit it for eternity, for a place that was made for eternity, and he wouldn't fit. I took money and I tried to put money in that place made for eternity, and it wouldn't fit. I took women and placed women in that place made for eternity, but it wouldn't fit. Listen, every problem you have in your life today is caused because you're trying to put something temporal to fill a void that was made for eternity. Solomon said, I tried women. I tried money. I tried fame. I tried literature. I tried writing. I tried power. I tried the throne. I tried jewels. I tried horses. I tried pleasure. I don't care what it is, Solomon said. I tried. But he said, nothing fit. And he said, under the sun, I couldn't find anything to fill that void left when eternity was taken out. But let me tell you something, bless God. There's something above the sun that will fill that void. And that something is that which is eternal. Listen, we're spending too much time on temporal things. We're spending too much time on that which doesn't fit. And I do not care. Listen, the most miserable person in this room this morning is that person who has the most. That's who it is. I double dog dare you to check the suicides in America. I'll guarantee you that the person most miserable, who is it? It's a person that tries the longest to find something to fit that void left with the absence of eternity. And the person that has the most things to put there is the person who finds the most times it won't work. And ladies and gentlemen, there never has been, never will be anything under the sun that'll fill that void left with eternity left. God made man for himself. God made man to fellowship with himself. God made man for his own pleasure. God's own pleasure. And you will not fill that void left when man left his God. You will not fill that with money. Not enough money in the banks of this world. Not enough gold in Fort Knox. Not enough silver and gold in Africa. Not enough riches at the bottom of the Dead Sea. Not enough power in the throne. Not enough pomp in Westminster Abbey. Not enough joy in Disneyland or Disney World. Not enough power in Russia, in the Kremlin. There's not enough fame in Hollywood. There's not enough joy in mirth. There's not enough glitter in gold. There's not enough sparkle in water. There's not enough things in this world to fill the void left in your heart when God's eternity was taken out. How foolish you are. Young people, how foolish you are not to realize that you young folks now, I'm talking about teenage, it's a hard time of life when you're a teenager. Hard to adjust. And they're trying to find something. What'll fit it? What'll make me happy? And life is one constant search. I tried this, it didn't fit. 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 Why? Because you're looking under the sun. And Solomon said there's nothing under the sun. Why? Because something had been taken out. Practically all of my counseling is done with people who have a lot of things to place in the void left by eternity. But I want to say this now. This is the sermon. Solomon was saved. He was saved. This is no unsaved man saying, I tried everything but Jesus. This Solomon knew Jesus. This is no wicked man in the discos in the red light district. This is no heathen whoremonger who's saying, I tried this, but Jesus satisfied. I'll say it, I've said it before. Jesus does not satisfy. Jesus does not satisfy. This man had Jesus. This man was saved. This was a man who had Jesus, who found out that if you have Jesus, you still will not be satisfied unless you spend your Christian life, your life, on things that are not temporal. Now listen to me. Listen to me. There's not anybody in this house immune from needing what I'm saying. There's not anybody in this house who is so lofty and so spiritual, what you don't need what I'm saying this morning. Solomon, wisest man in the whole world, say, listen, I've heard the testimonies. I tried pleasure, and that didn't satisfy. And I tried money, and that didn't satisfy. And I tried fame, and that didn't satisfy. But it came to Jesus and got saved, and he satisfied. No, he didn't. No, he didn't satisfy. I've heard the songs, take the whole world and give me Jesus. Take the whole world and give me Jesus. Take the whole world and give me Jesus. He satisfies. No, he doesn't. No. I am satisfied with Jesus, wrote the writer. He has done so much for me. But the question comes to me when I think of Calvary, is my master satisfied with me? But the truth is, the first part of that song is not true. You'll not be satisfied with Jesus. You get eternal life when you come to Jesus. But you'll not be satisfied until you, in your life, replace the void of eternity with something that's eternal. Most miserable person in this room, didn't it? Listen, most miserable crowd in the world last night was not the unsaved man out in the heathen world. Most miserable person last night in the world was a saved man out in the heathen world. Happiest person in the world is that person who's been born again and is living for God and the will of God and serving God. Second most happiest person in the world is an unsaved man without God. The least happy person in the world is the Christian who's out of place. He knows where he ought to be, but he isn't. He knows what he ought to do, but he doesn't. He knows what he ought to say, but he doesn't. He's outside. And here's Solomon, the Christian. And Solomon said, I'm hungry for eternity. I didn't know it. That's the sad thing about it. You're hungry for something you think money can satisfy. You're hungry for something you think pleasure can satisfy. Go to your Disneylands and go to your Disney Worlds and go to your discos and as a child of God, watch your dirty movies and go to your dance halls and go to your country club. But you never are going to be satisfied until you live for eternity. Something's missing. Now listen to me. There is a place in you that only that book will fit. No other book. None. Get your little books to Christian bookstores on 15 ways to find happiness, but they're not going to fit. Go down to your bookstore and get, and I'm not against Christian books. I've written a few of them, but go down and get all the books you want to get. But there's not one Christian book, nor Christian radio program, or Christian TV station that'll ever fill the place in your life that this book is going to fit. Now it's time some of you members of this church decide to read it. I'm talking about Sunday school teachers. I'm talking about deacons. I'm talking about staff members. I'm talking about choir members. It's time some of you folks decided this book's worth it. I'm not talking about reading it 2 minutes a day. I'm not talking about reading it 5 minutes a day. I'm talking about reading it like you read the newspaper. You're not going to listen. This book is eternal. No other book's eternal. God only wrote one book. In spite of Mr. Smith, who said he found another while he was digging for worms. Would God he'd gotten the worms instead of that extra book he said he got. And Mr. Moroney, who said he had a pair of glasses that helped him read that book. Mr. Moroney had a good name if the last eye was off. Moron. But anyway, I'm sorry. That book won't. Listen. Every single person this morning who's washed in the blood of Calvary has something in his heart, a void, that'll be there and stay there until you live in this book. You better not, because this book's eternal. There's a place in you that only fellowship with God will cure. I could bring this morning the greatest men in this world and let you fellowship with them. But that place would still be void. Made for God. Made for fellowship with God. I could cause this morning Lester Roloff to rise from the dead and bring him back and say he's going to have lunch with you. And he could sit at your table for an hour today. And you could enjoy fellowship with Roloff himself. But he wouldn't satisfy that place.
bring Dr. Bob Jones this morning and put him behind this platform and say he's going to go home with you and spend the afternoon and fellowship with you. And you'd have wonderful fellowship. But when you got through, you still would have that void that was left there, and it'll be there until you learn to walk with your God. How tragic. Ere you left your room this morning, did you think to pray? Sometimes I want to grab the membership of this church all together and shake every one of you good in heart and say, good night in the morning. The King of Glory wants to talk to you. The God of Gods, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Jehovah God, Jehovah God, He wants to talk with you. And He wants, I don't care how much fellowship you have, I don't care how much handshaking you do, how many conventions you go to, how many big preachers you know, not one single thing under the sun is going to take the place of that void in your life. It's placed there because fellowship is broken with your God, and the only way you're going to fill that void is when you decide you're going to walk with God. I walk with the King. Hallelujah. I walk with the King. Praise His name. And no other fellowship, regardless of how famous the person is with whom I have it, will take its place because God has set eternity in my heart. There's a place in you. Listen. There's a place in you that only giving will fill. No amount of receiving will fill it. None. None. Winning a contest on television. Winning a draw. Getting a raise in pay. Inheriting a lot of money. Getting a lucrative contract. I don't care what you receive. I don't care how much you receive. Whoopee! I won $1,000. Wow! I'm getting a big raise. I don't care what it is. Man was made to give. And when man has a void in his heart about this matter of giving and receiving, no amount of receiving will fill the void that's made for giving. I'm talking to folks today. You want, what can I get to make me happy? Nothing. It's what you give that makes you happy. There's a place in you this morning that only loving can fill. Only loving. That one of your true choice and that one that you love says to you, I love you. It's wonderful. But that won't fill this void I'm talking about. People stand and applaud you. That won't fill this void I'm talking about. There's a place left in man for love. Listen to me. Listen to me. Until you learn to love him who hates you, you don't know what I'm talking about. Until you learn to love him who slanders you, you don't know what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about loving his soul and hating his guts. I'm not talking about that. Until you learn to love him who hates you and bless him who curses you and do good for him who does evil to you, you're going to have that void. And look, you know what I'm talking about. Most everybody here this morning got something. You're still something missing. What's missing? They come to me by the hour. So something missing, something missing, something missing. I'll tell you what's missing. Those things that are eternal are missing. Beloved people who call me pastor, and beloved people whom I call my members, beloved of God with whom God has given me the privilege of serving for these almost going on 24 years. And people whom I love as I love my own heart, I long. I know what Paul meant when he said, I long. I travail till Christ be formed into you. I hurt. I hurt till love be formed into you. I hurt till giving be formed into you. I long for my people to be people of the book. I long for my people to be people of the prayer closet. I long for my people to be people who walk with God. I said to our deacons last week, I don't think they'll mind me saying this. I said, brethren, tonight at this very moment, when I talked to them, I said, there's a deacon board meeting in Corpus Christi, Texas. And that deacon board is meeting to replace one of God's choicest servants. And I said, when my plane goes down, if it does, And you meet in this room as we've met together so many times. And you have to decide what holds the future, what the future holds for this church. I said, brethren, the thing that you'll miss about me most will not be my preaching. You can find others who are far more eloquent than I. It'll not be my teaching, for you can find others far more brilliant than I. It'll not be my looks, for you can find others far more desirable to look at than I. But I said, the thing you're going to miss about me the most, and you won't believe this, but think about it, is my peacemaking. My peacemaking. I long for the day when our people will have the eternal love of God. The kind of love that says, forgive them with nails in your hands. The kind of love that says, forgive them with a crown of thorns pressing on your brow. The kind of love that says, forgive them with a spear rushing toward your side. The kind of love that says, forgive them when your back has been beaten beyond recognition by their hand. Wielding the cat of nine tails. Paul said, I labor. I labor like a woman in labor. I travail till Christ be formed in you. And God knows that's the thing I want most for this crowd. Listen, I have no premonition. But if over the airways it comes that my plane's gone down someday, I don't want you to have your Christian life wrapped up in flesh and blood. I want to have taught you to walk with God. I want to have taught you to live in His book and walk on your knees. And I want you to be able to weep and cry and say, we'll miss Him. But I want you to be able to say, God is still on His throne. But you're not going to be that way if you keep on trying to replace eternity with the temporal. It won't fit. There's a place inside you made for giving that receiving will not fit. There's a place inside you made for loving that hatred and revenge and being loved will not fit. There's a place inside you made for forgiveness that bitterness and hurt feelings will not fit. There's a place inside you made for Jesus and walking with Him that all the fellowship with great people will not fit. And there's a place made inside you for this old book that no other book will fit. I think we've preached too much on this subject. We've testified too much, I think, about it at the exclusion of something else. We've said, if you come to Jesus, you'll find the joy you've been looking for. No, you won't. You come to Jesus, you find the salvation you've been looking for. But you don't come to Jesus to find joy. As you live and walk with God and try to find joy, and you keep trying to find books that'll fit and things that'll fit, and all of a sudden you find the Word of God and it just falls right in place. And you go to church and fellowship and have your parties and have your activities and have your get-togethers. Enjoy each other's fellowship, and that's good. And it's good for what it does. But you're foolish. If you think that's going to take the place of fellowship with God, it just won't. I long for the day to come when I know that every day my people are living in this book. I long for the day to come when I know every day my people are walking with God. I long for the day to come when I believe that my people have learned to love those that hate them, forgive those that slander them. I long for the day to come when my people will be people of God. Many of us are. Many have never found it yet. And so you keep trying to make something fit. It won't fit. Because eternity is what was taken out. Until you replace that eternity that was removed in the Garden of Eden. Listen, look at me. I just had a beautiful thought. Until you replace that eternity that was removed in the Garden of Gethsemane, eternity that was removed in the Garden of Gethsemane, or Eden, by that eternity which was satisfied in the Garden of Gethsemane, you'll never be happy. And until you
place in the place of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil,
until you replace it with the tree that was cut down and made into a cross, you'll never, never be satisfied. No, you won't. God has set eternity in our hearts. A bottle of beer won't fit it. A disco won't fit it. A dance won't fill it. Thrills and excitement won't fill it. Take the whole world and give me Jesus. Loving, serving, walking with God, living in that book. Those things that are eternal alone can fill the void placed by the removal of eternity. I wish you believed it. I'd get on my knees and beg you if it helped. I'd come down the aisles and hug you and say, please, if it helped. I'd take the knife in my pocket and cut my body and do penance if it helped. I think I mean what I'm going to say. I think I do. I think I do. I'd rather lay down on this altar this morning and let you come by and view my deceased body and have my people know God and walk with God and live in His book than to live and you not know Him. If my death would let you know Him, I think this morning I would not find it difficult to rejoice. Oh, I won't see Him, look upon His face. Oh, I want to thank Him for His saving grace in the streets of glory, just to hear His voice. Why don't you put the Word of God where it was made to be, and fellowship with God where it was made to be, and giving where it was made to be, loving where it was made to be, and forgiveness where it was made to be, because the man who had it all never really had anything, because he did not fill the void of eternity with that which is eternal. Father, bless them.